I believe this may be the best Advent hymn. I don't know if you hear the stark contrast between dark and light, between misery and rejoicing in that hymn. But that hymn speaks to what the world is waiting for. That is the world of faith. I want to return to our text in Luke, which speaks about Christ's second coming, but the lessons of his first coming stand as warnings for us also in his second coming. We enter the season event, and it's good for us to step back for a minute and ask ourselves, just what is it we're waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are we waiting to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we waiting also for his second coming? God knows waiting is never easy. I was reminded by a dear friend of mine, Pastor Michael Brandt, in one of his devotions recently, that waiting is a ministry of God. And you know, I needed this devotional from Pastor Brandt because I've been waiting for over 2 weeks to find out what my insurance company is going to do with my car. And I'm going to wait another 3 weeks, now that it's been decided it's going to be repaired, I'm going to wait another 3 weeks to get my car back. And I don't like waiting. In fact, I know you don't like waiting either. You see, the reality is none of us likes waiting. Do you know why we don't like waiting? We don't like waiting because when you're waiting, you're not in control. And you see, this is what Pastor Brandt was saying. Waiting is a ministry of God because it is God's way and time of showing us that we are not in control. You know, you think about the times you wait in the checkout line, perhaps at the grocery store, or in the line for the bank, or maybe, you know, if it may be something else. I'm thinking sometimes the trains start moving there in front of the granary, and they block that street that runs past the post office, and you see the cars waiting there. You know what it's like to wait behind a train? Did you ever see somebody, three or four cars in front of you, get tired of waiting, and they do a 180-degree turn and drive away because they just can't stand waiting? We don't like to wait because when we're waiting, we're not in control. Jesus knows that, and he warns the church that right now, during this time of waiting, he says that we need enduring faith. Enduring faith waits and watches for Christ. I want to turn back to this text from Luke 12, 35 through 40, where Jesus speaks to the church. Even after he's come the first time, he speaks to us about where we are right now, waiting for his second coming. And Jesus says this in Luke 12, verse 35. He says, "Lest your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch of the night or the third watch and find them so watching and waiting, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The reality of life and salvation is precisely this. You are not in control. The Bible says that none of us knows the number of our days, James 4:14. The Bible also says that none of us knows the timing of God. Acts 1:7, Jesus says, "It's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put into his own authority." When will Christ return? We don't know, but Jesus calls you to be ready. When will your last day on earth be? You don't know, but Christ calls you to be ready. Jesus says in this text, first of all, it overwhelms this text. Five short verses say, above all else, Jesus says, be ready. But then also we see from this text that it is Christ himself that makes us ready. Christ calls us to be ready. It's Christ himself who makes us ready. And third, Jesus promises that those who are found ready will be blessed. Be ready. What does it mean to be ready? Now, most of us, I think when we think about being ready, we think about being ready for trouble, right? Being prepared in case something happens. When trouble comes, being ready knows how to respond in the right way. I remember when I first came up here to Roseau County, it was in 2004, to interview at the Badger and Oiland Parish, and my dear friend Dwight Lang, he called me. You know, I came all the way from Ohio in March in my little blue Jeep. And he called me before I left, and he says, "You know, Pastor, do you understand about deer?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Dwight, tell me." He says, "Okay, here's the rule when you drive up here." He says, "You never swerve to miss a deer." He says, "There's more damage caused by cars swerving out of control trying to miss deer than if they just hit them. And besides that," he says, "your insurance company gives you a hard time if they find out you lost control of your vehicle." So he said, if a deer jumps out right in front of you, he said, "Just hit it. The insurance company will fix it." I said, "Well, okay, well, thanks. That's good advice. I'd never thought about that." He said, "I got one more tip for you." I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Always swerve to miss a moose." Back then, we had moose up here. So those were two good pieces of advice that made me ready, you know, for my long drive. By the way, I got up here in March. It was 40 below zero. Beautiful, sunshiny weather, 40 below zero. In any event, we usually think about being ready as being prepared for trouble. But Jesus and the Bible, in fact, is speaking about just the opposite. The reality of our world is trouble has already come. The problem of our day is trouble is already here. You and I live in a fallen world where the prince of darkness already rules. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that some 6,000 years ago, after the creation, war broke out in heaven between the devil and his rebellious angels who became demons and the angels of God. And Revelation 12:9 says that so the great dragon was cast out from heaven, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast down to the earth, and his demons with him. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. You see, trouble has already come, because the devil is not only here, but he has already seduced mankind to follow him into rebellion. Ephesians 2:2-3 says, "The devil is the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." There is already so much trouble in this world. You turn on the news and you find evil dictators in North Korea and in Iran and elsewhere who fire weapons of artillery on civilians. They raise up terrorist armies. They threaten nuclear war. There is terrible false religion in the world that seeks to dominate the minds of men through violence and terror, even in our own country. But there are lesser troubles too. Unfaithful government leaders, unfaithful spouses, unfaithful employers, unfaithful employees, drugs, drunkenness, immorality. Yes, trouble is already here, and the wrath of God is coming. Malachi, the last prophet God sent before Christ, Malachi 4, verses 1 and 5 says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble and will be burned up. But behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord." We need to remember this as we seek to be ready. We need to remember this to understand the meaning of Advent. We need to know this to understand the meaning of Christmas. The wrath of God is coming, but God also promised to send a Savior, one who would rescue those who are believing from the coming wrath. For 4,000 years, mankind waited for the coming Christ, for the Savior's advent. The problem is that even though God gave us so many prophets who foretold so many signs to look for, and even though Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of those prophecies, and even though Jesus Christ performed all those mighty miracles proving that he was God with us, and even so, even though Jesus Christ spoke the word of God, many people were not ready for him when he came. Instead, in the first advent, most were not ready, and most rejected him. And this is why the Bible calls Jesus' first coming the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus himself proclaims in Luke 1:17 and in Matthew 10, verse 14, that it is John the Baptist who is Elijah, the one who would prepare people to receive the Christ. And the first advent of the Lord was a great day, a day of rescue, a day of redemption. But it was a dreadful day for those who were not ready. In John 8:21, Jesus says, "If you do not believe that I am he, then you will die in your sins." For those who were not ready to receive their Savior, there is only the blast furnace coming. But the words of our text in Luke 12, these are Jesus' words for our day too. Jesus brings the same message. He says, "Be ready." And this is the meaning of Advent. Be ready. With all of the Christmas celebrations and the manger stories and the exchanging of gifts, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. With all of these things, we can be blinded to the meaning of Christmas, which is this: we are in desperate trouble, and only God can save us. We celebrate. We celebrate and we rejoice because God sent his Savior. But to be saved, you must be ready. Truly, no one can be ready on them on their own. You can't make yourself ready. It's Jesus Christ who makes you ready. It's the Word of God who makes you ready to receive your Savior. In verse 35 and 36 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men waiting for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open the door to him immediately." You see, Jesus calls us to be ready to receive the master when he comes. He's like an alarm clock going off. The alarm clock wakes you up. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of Jesus that wakes us up. This was true for Israel in the days of the Nativity, and it's equally true for us today. Jesus is the Word of God become flesh, dwelling among us, and it is the Word of God that informs us of our true condition: fallen into rebellion, sinful, children of wrath. And it's the same Word of God that filled the prophet's testimony of a coming Savior. It's the Word of God that promises rescue to faithful men and women from the destruction that is coming. It is the Word of God that promises a Redeemer to bring us into the kingdom of heaven. And that same Word of God calls you and me now to be girded up and to keep our lamps burning. Jesus tells us that being ready means being alert, not slumbering. He calls us to keep our lamps bright so that we can see the truth and not be blinded by the shadows and the darkness in this world. Enduring faith waits and watches for Christ. Well, is this really necessary? Can't we just enjoy the holidays, be of good cheer? I can hear people thinking, "Come on, Pastor, lighten up a little bit, will you? It's Christmas." I was reading just this week in Christianity Today, the November issues, got an article called "The Leavers." And the article cites several recent surveys, both inside the church and inside the government, that report 20 to 30-year-olds are abandoning faith more than any previous generation. Various studies all show that 30 to 40% of young Americans are dropping out of Christian faith. A generation ago, it was 10%. Today, it's 30 to 40%. Jesus tells us to be girded up. What are we to be girded up against? Jesus tells us to keep our lamps burning. What must we see? Well, first of all, these reports all point right back to the family and to the church. For over a century, the church has been sliding into a superficial and careless form of Christianity, the feel-good Christianity that loves to preach the gospel but forgets the law, that teaches God loves you, Christ is your friend, and a good example. In these surveys, when teenagers were questioned about what they believe, most of the Christian teenagers described their faith as moralism, moralistic faith, which thinks that God, maybe he was some distant creator, and if he does exist, well, he blesses good people and he helps us to be happy. They don't believe that they need a Savior. They don't believe that without the Savior, they are sinners who will be judged and damned to hell. Secondly, these surveys show that it is the philosophy of our day which has thrown out absolute truth about right and wrong. The Ten Commandments are all but forgotten. The Bible is denied the authority of the very Word of God. And many in the church really no longer know the difference between right and wrong. Thirdly, our culture has fallen so far from the biblical standard that there is tremendous conflicts in the lives of young people, especially tremendous conflicts between belief, biblical faith, and behavior. And this conflict becomes too hard to sustain biblical faith. Instead of changing their behavior to match their faith, increasingly young people are changing their faith to fit the behavior of our day. And these are dark forces casting long shadows into your homes and into the church. How do you resist this apostasy? Apostasy is a falling away. How do we resist this falling away? Let there be no mistake, this falling away is to eternal destruction. Know Christ as your Savior. Not only on the cross, but also in the Word that God has delivered so that you may know the truth. Jesus said, keep your lamp burning. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is the lamp unto your feet. It is the light to your path. The Bible says that the commandments are a lamp. The law is a light. Dear friends, we are girded up by the power of God's Word. Our minds are illuminated by the light of God's Word. To put down the Word of God, to put away the Word of God from your home and from your daily life is like blowing out the light and falling asleep in the dark. Do you want to know the true joy of Christmas? Do you want to know the rejoicing that we sing about? Do you want to find peace that lasts beyond just those days off of work? The Word of God makes you ready for these things. Jesus says that those who are found ready are blessed. Jesus says in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. In Jesus' day, some were ready. Mary was ready when she was told that she would bear the Christ child. Mary says in Luke 2:50, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. The shepherds were ready. When the angels spoke the good news, the angels said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For those who receive the Word of God and whose hearts are made ready to receive their Savior, the great blessing is this: Christ came to serve you. He came to take away your sins. He came to make you clean before a holy God. Christ came to give you freedom from sin and slavery to Satan. Christ came to bring you into the kingdom of heaven. Christ came to give you eternal life. And those hearts that have been made ready by the truth of God's word, they know and they receive this gift with great joy. They have eternal peace with God. And with them, those who know they need a Savior, those who know God has provided, with them there is no falling away. Dear friends, as we wait for the celebration of the coming of the Lord, let us be sure that our children, our grandchildren, our friends, and our neighbors have hearts that are ready. Don't let the fun traditions of the Christmas tree and the presents and the days off of work, don't let these things serve the forces of darkness. They are meant to be opportunities to recognize the love and the grace and the mercy of God poured out into the world in response to our desperate need for a Savior. Jesus says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Christ's second advent draws ever nearer. And he says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Until then, enduring faith waits and watches for Christ. May his name be praised. Amen. Well, our hymn and